Good afternoon. We're here from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And it's good to be out again with the gospel. We're grateful to God for this lovely day, this great day that He's given to us, and for health and strength to be able to come out and leave our pulpits behind, because we have a glorious and a wonderful message to proclaim to the people of Glasgow and to visitors who are with us this afternoon. We'll be handing out some gospel tracts also, and we do wish that you would take a tract from someone who'll give it to you, and if you don't have time to read it now, then take it home with you and read it later on. It's simply a simple gospel presentation of the essential facts concerning the Christian gospel. For we do live in a day and an age when there's large-scale ignorance regarding the Christian gospel. And because we recognize that many people don't go to a Christian place of worship these days, therefore it is imperative upon us that we come out and we do not leave this message unheeded and unheard. We want to tell you something concerning what we find in the Word of God, friends. Now, the Word of God is God's Word. It's not my Word. It's not the Word of the Church. It's the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has given to us. And therefore, we need to hear what God has for us in His Word. And right at the very beginning of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and if you have a Bible, I would urge you to read it. And if you don't have a Bible, then make contact with us, and we would be happy to ensure that you get a copy of God's Word. But the first verse in the first chapter of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And right there, at the very start of God's revealed Word to us, He tells us something, or at least a number of things about Him. And really, the first thing He teaches us, that He Himself is eternal. What does that mean? Well, it simply means that God has no beginning nor no end. Because there, at the beginning of time, before creation, we are told that God was there. God created the heaven and the earth. And therefore, the world that we're in and this environment that we're part of, it has been created by Almighty God. And our catechism would teach us the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. That was God's verdict upon His great and vast and comprehensive universe. It is all very good. And here we are today, at least 6,000 years ago, since God created the heaven and the earth. And here it is, it's still here. But a number of things have changed, and we will maybe meditate upon these things that have changed later on. But for us today, this afternoon, friends, we want to impress upon you that God is the Creator, and in 6 days He created everything. And on the sixth day, we're told that He created the land, animals, and then at the very pinnacle, at the very apex of His creation, what did He do? He created man, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, in the image of God, created He him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And there in these three verses that I've quoted from Genesis chapter 1, we have the Bible's account of the creation of mankind, male and female. You will notice that are not 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 or 80 or 100 genders. There are only 2 that are male and female. What do we find here? And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. But what I want to focus upon this afternoon with you is the uniqueness and the specialness of the creation of mankind. We didn't look at it, we didn't read about it, but God created all life. The fish, the birds, the insects, the animals. But there was something unique and something unusual and something special about his creation of mankind. Here we find, and God said, Let us make man in our image. And there we have what we might describe as a Trinitarian conference. Here was God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit having a conference and saying, Let us make man in our image. This was never said concerning the fish or the birds or the animals or the insects. They were just simply created. God spoke and they were created. But God had a conference within the Trinity and they decided to make man. We represent Almighty God. We are like our Creator when man was first created. He was made in the image of God. And this tells us then that we truly are unique as far as the creatures of God are concerned. We are right to be concerned about animal welfare. That's a good thing. We should be careful about how we treat our animals. But we must recognize that we are a different class and a different category altogether. For we have been made in the image of God. Now therefore, as you're sitting down or as you're walking by, you might want to consider, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? Well, the Bible tells us, or the Bible teaches us, God created man, male and female, after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. And therefore, there is something unique and special about mankind. And therefore, I want to ask you this question. Because we're made in the image of God, do you think that life is just simply being born, eating, drinking, sleeping, working, procreating, and then what? The end, death. Do you think, friends, that is all that mankind is for? If we're made in the image of God, that one who is from everlasting to everlasting, a God who had no beginning and will have no end, who alone is eternal and immortal, if we are made in his image, do you think that we're just here for 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years and then when we die, that's it all over? You know, this is what the atheists will tell us today. And this is what we are taught in our schools and in our universities, where they will teach us atheistic evolution. They will tell us that we period of time, are we here for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years? 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, and then we die, we go, and that's it all over? No, friends. There's more to life than that. And the moment that you have been created, you are to understand that in some real sense, you are eternal. The moment that you were conceived, you are eternal. And although you might live for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, and then die, but your soul shall live forever. Because we're made in the image of God, we're not just body, we're body and soul. That's what the Bible would teach us. And yes, death will come to us. We cannot avoid it. We're mortal. And we'll speak about why death came into being in a moment. But don't think for one moment that when death comes, it's all over. Don't think for one moment it's curtains. Yes, your body will die and it will return to the dust. But where will your soul go? What is your soul? Well, your soul is basically you. It's you, your personality. It is what you are. At the moment, you are body and soul. You have a body, and in that body, your soul is housed. But when death comes, when you'll go the way of all the earth, your body and your soul shall separate. Your body shall return to the dust, whether it be buried in the ground or whether it be burnt, it will return to dust. But the moment that you die, friends, when we die, we will go. Our souls will go to God and we will be judged. And that's why we come out this afternoon, friends. We come out to tell you the good news, the glorious good news that we find in the Christian gospel. That there is a way to be saved because we are all sinners. As I said to you earlier on, we are made in the image of God, and when our first parents were created, they were perfect. And Adam and Eve were our first parents, and we've all come from them. And don't listen to people who tell you there are different races. Because that's not the case at all. There's only one race, and it's the human race. And yes, we might have slightly different characteristics. We might have different colors of skin. Some might be lighter skinned, and some may be darker skinned. And that's in connection with the environment that they live in. But there's only one. Satan came in the form of the serpent, and he tempted Eve. And Eve succumbed to that temptation. She ate the forbidden fruit. She disobeyed a clear and distinct commandment that God had given to them. And she was deceived. And she gave some of the forbidden fruit to Adam. And he disobeyed. And from that moment in time, friends, things changed upon the earth. Sin entered into our experience. And our parents, our first parents, became sinners. And they had a sinful nature. And that sinful nature was passed on to everyone that came from them. And as we have all come from them, we have inherited their sinful nature. So there's our great problem. What is it? It's sin. What is sin? Sin is any want of or conformity unto the law of God. That's what it is. It is not to keep God's law. It is to break it. We can have sins of commission and sins of omission. And all of these, friends, are contrary to the law of God. And we have all broken God's law. That's why the Bible will tell us, not to flatter us, but it will tell us, in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the reality. And that's where all our problems stem from today. That's why we have a society that's upside down today. That's why we have a society that's full, or at least I should say the prisons are full. That's why we have so many divorces and broken homes. That's why we have hospitals. That's why we have cemeteries and graveyards. That's why we have death. That's why we have disease and sickness. That's why we have bad weather. But if that's the case, then our thinking is not aligned with the thinking of our great God who made us and formed us. Because when our first parents, when they sinned against Him, a great curse was put upon this earth and upon mankind. And it has affected the whole of the earth, the whole of the environment. It's all been affected by the curse. And the curse has been brought upon us by mankind's sin. But you know, friends, there is good news. And this good news is only found in the Christian gospel. What is that good news? That good news is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the good news. You see, because of sin, what does it deserve? A moment ago I said that most people don't think much about sin. They think it's a light matter. But that's not the way God looks upon sin. Because ultimately, sin is rebellion against God. That's what it is. And what are the wages? What is the punishment for sin? Again, the Bible does not leave us in darkness. It tells us. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. And that's why death has been brought into the world. There would be no death if there was no sin. And God tells us the wages of sin is death. But, and here's another wonderful but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we come out this afternoon from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing, and we meet at 2 Thornwood Terrace, just up Dumbarton Road. You'll come to the police station, opposite the police station, go up the hill there. You'll come to Thornwood Primary School, and then you'll come to our building next door, and we give you a warm welcome. Come along any Lord's Day, Sunday, at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. or Wednesday evening, friends, because He's the one who has come down from heaven. No other person has ever come down from heaven. Christ is the eternally begotten Son of God. He is the second person in the Trinity. And He was part of that Trinitarian conference when He said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." And He's the one who has come down from heaven. He left the realms of glory of heaven behind, and He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by a miraculous operation of God the Holy Spirit, in order that He would not inherit or contract original sin. And He was born in the normal manner from the womb of the Virgin Mary. And He lived for around 30 years quietly, learning a trade. And then at about 30 years old, He began His public ministry. And He did the truth as it is in Jesus, because we'll never appreciate what Christ has done unless we understand our plight and our predicament. And the Bible would describe us as ones who are lost. We're lost because we're sinners. And we're sinners because we have a sinful nature and we have been born with it. We've inherited from our first parents, from Adam and Eve. And you know this is true in your own experience, although you might not realize it. And let me illustrate it to you. If you're a parent, Did you teach your children to sin? Did you teach your children to be naughty and to do bad things? No, you didn't. Instead, you would want to correct them. But how did they do these things? They do these things because they have a sinful nature. They have been born with it, as every one of us has. We're no different. That's why the Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in of ourselves, friends, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot get ourselves right with God. It's impossible. We might try it, and many people do. And that's why we have so many religions today. They're all telling us to do this and to do this, to do this thing and to do that thing. And then what will happen? We'll be right with God. But no, friends, that's not the case. It doesn't work. Our good works cannot save us. Being religious cannot save us. Going to the house of God cannot save us. Who can save us? What can save us? Only Jesus can save us. That's why he himself did say, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." No one will go to heaven. No one will be right with God. No one in you. He has revealed himself. And the Lord Jesus said in his word, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And that's what happened when Jesus came. Jesus, who the Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do this? Why did he come from heaven? Why did he leave the realms of glory? Why did he take upon himself our flesh and become like us, even a servant? Why did he do this? Ultimately to suffer a most cruel and despicable death at the hands of his enemies. You know, friends, he was crucified. You know, he was nailed to a cross. Nails were put through his hands and put through his feet, and a sword pierced his side. Why did he undergo all of this? You know, no Roman would be allowed to be crucified. It was considered too ghastly a way to die, a way to be punished. And no Roman criminal will be treated like this, but Jesus was. Even the death of the cross, we're told. Why did he suffer and die? He did it because it was all God's plan. It was all God's plan to punish him in the place of sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, a life that you and I cannot live. He was born sinless. He lived sinless. He never thought a wrong thought. He never spoke a wrong word. He never committed a wrong deed. His life was absolutely perfect. He lived a life that you and I cannot possibly do. And when he was offering up himself as this into a tomb, and he was there on the Friday night and on the Saturday night, but very early on the first day of the week, on Sunday, he arose. Why did he arose? He arose because his work was deemed acceptable. God the Father accepted his work on behalf of mankind. Do you think that God would resurrect an imposter and a liar and a cheat? No. The Lord Jesus Christ performed all that was required of him when he suffered and when he died on Calvary Street, when he offered up himself as that once for all perfect sacrifice. And there He went into the grave dead. But on the third day, on the first day of the week, he arose because his work of atonement was over. It was complete. And God had accepted his work. And therefore, that's why we're able to come out into the street this afternoon and to tell all the people on Buchanan Street and further afield that there's a way of hope. We cannot get right to God by our own means, our own methods, or our own ways, our own good works, or whatever. It's impossible. But there is a way to get right with God, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here to tell you that his work that he did has been accepted. And therefore, friends, we are proclaiming to you a Savior who is alive. Who is alive forevermore. A Savior to all who will stop and think and consider. Where am I going? What is life all about? Why am I here? What happens after death? You'll find all of these answers, friends, in the Christian gospel. And therefore, we would urge upon you to take up your Bibles and to read. And we might recommend that if you're not used to reading your Bibles, go and pick up the New Testament and read the Gospel according to Mark. And there you will find about the Savior, how he went about doing good, and how he was a man of action, and how ultimately he went to the cross in order to secure the salvation of his people. Now, friends, what does salvation mean? Maybe I'm using a word that you're not used to. What does it mean? Salvation means freedom. It means deliverance. It means to be set free. And maybe then you're asking, what does Jesus set me free from? He sets you free from sin. That's what he sets you free from. First of all, he sets you free from the guilt of sin. This is something that we carry with us. I can remember it well. What a guilty feeling I had. I didn't know what it was. I knew it was there, but I didn't know what it was all about. Well, I had a guilty feeling. I wasn't right with God. And you know that I knew that if I died, where was I going? I wasn't going to heaven. Because I had a guilty feeling, because my sins were a problem. But friends, when Jesus Christ saved me, he took away the guilt of my sins. He cleansed my sins. He erased them. He eradicated them. They're no longer an issue. He has dealt with them in the gospel because he has suffered and died in my room and in my place. It to you, and it's not so ridiculous. God has given us the Ten Commandments, has he not? We might articulate the Ten Commandments to you later on, but he has given us the Ten Commandments. And Jesus was asked to sum up the Ten Commandments one day. And what did Jesus do concerning the Ten Commandments? He said, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. That's how he summed up the Ten Commandments. You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you're to love your neighbor as yourself. And if we truly kept the Ten Commandments, that's what we would do. But I ask you, have you ever loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? And have you done it all the days of your life? The answer is, of course, no, we haven't. And do you love your neighbor as yourself? Who's my neighbor, you might say? Well, your neighbor is anyone that you come in contact with. Do you love your neighbor with all your strength then? Do you love the Lord your God with all your strength all the days of your life? Friends, the answer to these questions is quite clear. No, we haven't. Therefore, we sin. We're sinning now. We sinned yesterday. We sinned earlier on today. We're sinning continually. But the Lord Jesus Christ is one who lived a perfect life, who never sinned at all. And when we believe upon Him, take Christianity's all about. And many people, yes, we might say, most people today are rejecting Christianity, but they're rejecting something that they know nothing about. Therefore, we urge you to take your Christianity from the Word of God. That's what we're seeking to do this afternoon with you, even for the short time as you pass by, that you might hear something, that your souls might live. We're going to take a short break to recharge our batteries, but may God bless His Word to you.